The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
So, welcome to the Free Library. My name is Samantha Maldonado, and I work in external affairs here. As you know, the Free Library is dedicated to advancing literacy, guiding learning, and inspiring curiosity. Please visit freelibrary.org/support to make a gift that will help the library to continue to produce transformative programming like the one you're about to see. And while you're online, don't forget to sign up for a library card. It's now my pleasure to introduce Simone Biles. You guys already know this, but at 19, Simone is widely known as the best gymnast in the world. Before the Olympics, she already won the most gold medals in the history of the world championships. And then at the Olympics this summer, she obviously won 3 gold medals and 1 bronze. Allie Raisman, her teammate this year, said that Simone's just in her own league. Whoever gets second place, that's the winner. And Simone has been compared to Usain Bolt and Michael Phelps, but in Simone's words herself, she's the first Simone Biles. And her story outside the gym is just as compelling as the one inside of it, and she's here tonight to talk to you about that, along with award-winning journalist Tracy Matisik. So please join me in welcoming Simone and Tracy.
Well, hello, everyone. I know you're not here to see me, but we are all delighted to see Simone Biles. How about a nice Philly welcome for her? Well, I don't know if you know this, but very recently, Simone was named the Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Simone, I'm sure that so many of us, you know, we watched your performance in the Olympics, absolutely amazing. What has your life been like since then?
It's been pretty chaotic, to be honest, but all the cool opportunities I've gotten to do has been such an honor. But it has been crazy. I wake up in places and I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I? But other than that, for the most part, it's been good.
So you
busy.
Well, you wrote in the book about 100 things to do after 2016.
Yeah.
Are you doing some of those things?
Yes, I actually have. I have gotten to go horseback riding, go ice skating, go swimming with sharks and stingrays. So I have crossed off some of them off the list, so that's pretty exciting.
I heard something about you dropping in on Dancing with the Stars not too long ago. Is that true?
Yes. Last night I went to the tour stop in Lancaster, so I got to see Lori and all of them.
Well, your book is called The Courage to Soar. Who did you write that book for, and what do you want your readers to come away with?
I guess I wrote it for my fans and everyone else that wants to get an insight in my life, just because they've heard the stories so many times from different reporters or people online writing, but they've never heard it from me, so I thought it would be special to write it from me, to hear it from me, because I'm the only one that knows it the best, you know?
So. Simone, you have had to make so many sacrifices, right, to compete at the highest levels of gymnastics. And there's a point where you talk in the book about coming to a crossroads, homeschool versus high school, you might say.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the trade-off that you made and how you arrived at that decision.
Mm-hmm. I was really torn at the deciding factors of doing college or professional because I didn't think it was quite fair that the boys get to do both because their gymnastics career, they mature much later and the girls have to choose collegiate or professional. But once I sat down, I was like, you know, I wouldn't want to regret the opportunities I'll get if I go professional and I'm successful rather than just go compete on a college team and look back at it and be like, oh, well, I could have been professional. I could have done so many opportunities. And I felt like I can always go to college, even if I don't get to compete. Maybe I can still compete 4 more years, maybe not at the collegiate level, but try for 2020. So that's kind of how I thought of it, is I could always go back to college, but I can't always go back and choose professional.
Yeah. Was it tough, though, thinking about just doing normal teenager things, right? Going to the mall, the movies, the prom?
Yes, it was hard, too. I've never been to a school dance ever, so I never got to go to prom. My sister says she's going to ask me. I'm probably going to tell her no. It's way overdue. But I've never been to any of those things, but I feel like competing for my country is a lot better than, no offense, what a lot of other kids get to do, and so they can't ever say, well, I got to compete for my country, and I can, so I think that's a little bit better than going to a school dance, in my opinion.
Probably a pretty good trait.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Simone, very early in your life, you and your siblings were in foster care. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And we may have some young people who here who are in foster families, just interested about what you might have to say to them.
Growing up, I was in foster families, and it didn't really scare me too much, besides like going to sleep and waking up knowing if my siblings were going to still be in the same home with me. So like we had a boys' room and then a girls' room, and my brother was across the hall, but I was kind of attached to him, and I was terrified like we weren't going to be together. So I would like sneak in his room and sleep in there with him, and they would get, of course, mad at me, but I was like, well, I can't lose my brother or like my siblings, and I would have my sister at the hip all the time with me. But other than that, it was a pretty good experience because I got to be with my siblings, and then my grandparents would always come and visit. So everything I remember was very positive. So it was all good.
Yeah. What would you say to young people who are living in foster families right now?
I would say to never give up and always stay hopeful, because the odds aren't against you and anything can happen.
Yeah. So then your grandparents actually adopted you and became your mom and dad. In fact, your mom is here with us tonight.
Yes.
Wave your hand, Miss Nellie.
Where is she?
Yes. So tell us about your parents and how they shaped your life.
My parents are the best things in my world. They always tell me yes, no, for the best reasons or the not so best reasons. Typical parents. But other than that, I remember my dad telling me once I was adopted on the plane ride from Ohio to Texas, he's like, you wouldn't stop smiling. I was like, is something wrong with her? Because like my sister cried the whole time on the plane, first time on a plane, but I was just like all smiles like a crazy child.
So you were living in Ohio originally, but then you moved to Texas to live with your parents.
Yes.
And how about your biological mom? Are you in touch with her much? Do you talk to her?
She calls on the holidays, and we talk to her, and she sends us like Christmas presents and all that stuff. But other than that, it's kept pretty low, just because she has other kids now, which are my siblings as well. But it's just like keeping it low.
Yeah. You talk in the book about not only the triumphs that you have faced, but also some of the adversity, right? And one of the challenges that you talked about that really seemed to make an impact on your life was the Visa National Championships in 2011 in Minnesota. What happened that day, and what did you take away from that experience?
Is this one? Okay, it's one 2011. Okay, sorry, guys. is this for the coach?
Yeah, this was the one about whether to do that particular
Yes, the skill. Move. Okay, so that's when I didn't make national team. That was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I missed national team by one placement, which is that's when MARTA selects you and you get to be on team, travel around the country, and compete for the United States. There was a specific vault that my coach wanted me to do, and I wouldn't do it because I was like, it's dangerous. I haven't trained it long enough, so I ended up not doing the vault, and I missed national team by one placement, and my coach was like, well, if you would have done it, you would have made national team. So of course I went back to the hotel, and I was like crying my eyes out. I remember my brother calling me, and he's like, it's okay, Simone, like you'll get it next year. And I was like, well, I don't want to wait a year. But it made me just go in the gym and train harder. And then actually like 2 weeks later, I did that vault on accident. And my coach was not the happiest because I said I couldn't do it. But I mean, it worked out for the better. I went to the gym and I trained harder. And then next year, I think I placed in the top three. So I made the team.
Yeah. So what might you say to other young athletes who might find themselves in a position like that, where they're faced with a question, do I go for broke, or do I hold back and do what I think is safer and less likely to result in an injury?
I would say to go with your conscience, and at the time I didn't think it was right, and I trusted my gut, and sometimes if your coaches are trying to push you, they won't necessarily tell you to do things they don't think you can do, but sometimes it's like, not in the picture, so just trust your gut.
Yeah. One of the other challenges that you talk about in the book is being diagnosed with ADHD. Tell us a little bit about that, and specifically, when you hear that, you wonder, how are you able then to maintain such incredible focus in gymnastics?
Well, growing up as a kid, if anyone looked at me, they could automatically tell I probably had ADHD because I was so hyper. I couldn't sit still for the life of me. I still can't. And my mom's like, can you just sit down? Like, give her something to play with. But it wouldn't keep me interested for too long. But other than that, me being prescribed with it, it wasn't such a big thing. I was like, well, I just need medicine to help myself. So then I started taking medicine. Sometimes I didn't like taking it because I felt different, but I knew it helped me. So that's all that mattered in the end, is what I knew what I needed for myself.
Yeah, and it really made a difference.
Yes, it did. Some days my mom could tell if I forgot to take my medicine.
Well, let's fast forward to Rio and the Olympics. How were you able to mentally prepare for the intensity of that kind of competition?
I've been on national team for a couple of years now, traveling around the world and going through assignments and then training camps. So that kind of prepares you for the scene. You never know exactly what it's going to be like, because it's the Olympics. It's this huge deal. But I've been to Worlds and world training camps and stuff like that, and MARTA's always watching us, so you kind of prepare for it physically and mentally at those camps, because we do the formation that we do in competition in those camps with MARTA, so we know exactly what's going to happen, who's going to go first, second, third, fourth, and fifth in lineup, so it's nothing new once we go to compete. We just keep it the same as training.
So, and when you say MARTA, you're talking about MARTA Caroli,
yes,
right?
Yes, the national team coordinator who picks all the teams.
Yeah. Speaking of MARTA, you and your teammates called yourselves the Final Five.
Yes.
Tell us, first of all, how did you arrive at that name? And then I want to follow up and talk a little bit about your teammates as well.
Okay. We were in a group message right after we made the Olympic team, and we're like, well, guys, we have to think of a name, but, like, of course we can't announce it unless we win the gold, because that's kind of, like, the tradition, but we still had to come up with one because we just, like, go big, you know? So we were all in a group message, and we were thinking of everything, and we finally came up with the Final Five because it's MARTA's last year, and it's the last Olympic team for gymnastics that will be a five-member team. In 2020, it'll be four members. So we were like the final of MARTA and the final team of five members.
Yeah. How did she respond when you told her your name?
Oh, gosh. So after we won, we're like, okay, we can announce it to the camera and then run over to MARTA, because we always ran to her for the nod of approval that she always gave. And we told her it, and she just started crying. And we were just like, oh, we didn't mean to make you cry. But she was just so excited and happy, and, like, we dedicated our team name to her. So that was pretty special.
Yeah. And you spent a lot of time training with her at their sort of the ranch, right?
Yes.
What was that experience like?
I think it shaped me into the person I am today, because I always knew to never give up and to push 100% more harder than I was already pushing. And it really tested my body limits mentally and physically, because no matter what, MARTA never just picked you for how physically strong you were. It was mentally as well. So she always needed who's going to go up and handle the pressure. So that taught me a lot about myself and how much pressure I could handle.
Yeah. Is there something that you would say to yourself? Do you have sort of an internal dialogue when you're either in competition, when you're rehearsing at that level? What's the dialogue that goes on in your head to push yourself to take that next step?
I just think back to training and think of how many times I've done these routines, and then I just tell myself, like, you got this, you can do this, you've done it a million times. And then before I go, I usually just tell myself confidence before I salute and go on the event.
And just like practice.
Yes.
Right? Yes. That's in the book too. You got to read it. Simone, talk about your teammates and what it was like to be competing alongside Allie and Laurie and Madison and Gabby. Mm-hmm. And maybe you've got some stories that you can share with us about them.
Competing with them was a dream come true. I remember watching Allie and Gabby. And I think whenever Allie won her floor routine gold in 2012, I was like crying in my room. I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And I was like, I want to be just like her. So I trained hard, but training alongside of them, I don't know if many of you guys know, but we've actually been training together for 5 or more years. Me and Lori knew each other whenever I was like 13. So that was pretty crazy how we got to be on an Olympic team together. And we see each other once a month for 5 days for all of our training camps, except for December. So we really are a family. So what you see out there on the competition floor is real. So we just want the best for each other. And they're like all sisters.
Yeah. So what kinds of things did you guys do when you were done competing? Were you able to have some fun, hang out?
We did get to go to the beach. That was a lot of fun and just have like a relaxed day. We got like, well, I know I got a cheeseburger that day. I was like, I just couldn't wait. And then me and Allie in the village, we were like, Coach Amy, which was my coach, we're like, please take us to the McDonald's in the village. Like, we just need an ice cream cone. So that was fun. But we were always pulling jokes on each other and screaming, going to bed way too late in the village. Lori's like, are you ever coming to bed? Because me and Lori would stay up late. Allie would bang on the door, run over. I'm trying to go to sleep. And we're like, girl, you can sleep when you're dead. It's 9 o'clock. So we like didn't let Allie sleep. And she's like, I'm going to kill you guys. But I mean, it just made good memories. And like, I'm not supposed to tell you guys this, but like in the village, they have like popsicle things. And you know how many popsicles I had? Way too many. Like, I just couldn't wait till competition was over so I could steal popsicle.
Well, I think I speak for all of us when I say you earned those popsicles and the cheeseburger and the ice cream. You know, Simone, because of people like Dominique Dawes, you know, Gabby Douglas, yourself, we're seeing what some people are calling an explosion of diversity in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. What might you say to young people of color?
Yes.
Who are interested in gymnastics. They've been watching people like mm-hmm. you. They're inspired. They want to walk that same path that you have walked.
I would say to dream big and pick a good role model and watch them, because I remember watching Gabby and all of them. And whenever I went to a competition, like seeing other people of color, it really did help me. And I felt like, you know what, if they can do this, I can do this. And then competing at world levels, it did make a difference. And competing with Gabby, that was an amazing feeling. She's like my sister. But to see other people like that, it's just like you just have to dream big and follow all of your dreams, because you can do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah. So, Simone, for someone like you who is very much in the public eye and also active on social media, it's inevitable that the haters will show up. And there will be people who say crazy things. How do you handle that?
Most of the time I just ignore it, because like I think of it as they're just behind a computer writing things. Like what? Right. Like they must have something better to do than like make fun of a 19-year-old. So I just kind of ignore it, because I'm like, you know what, it's okay. Be a better person. Be the bigger one. So most of the time I just ignore it.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of young people, and you don't have to be famous to endure this, that I think for a lot of young people on social media, mm-hmm. there is always that risk, right? That's people are just going to say things. What might you say to other young people who, you know, maybe have faced it not on the scale that you have, but are on social media and that's an issue for them?
I would just say to keep your chin up, and whatever you believe, you just keep to that and don't believe anything anyone tells you, because your mind is the most powerful thing you have. So you're the only one that can control it.
You tell a funny story in the book about the bee incident.
Yes.
Tell us about that story and what you learned from the bee incident.
Yes. So in 2014 at Worlds in China, there was an incident on the podium, and I freaked out because there was a bee in my flowers. So I was like shaking the flowers, and I'm up there and I'm like, don't throw the flowers down. I don't want them to think I'm rude. But the bee was coming after me. I chucked it. I ran. And then it went viral. But I think that day, actually, like going to the meet, I was like, you know what? I haven't seen one living flying thing here. No birds, no nothing. because like it was just so dull in the sky, and I was like, there's nothing here. There's like no flying animals. And then that day, the bee attacked me, and I was like, okay, I got the one thing out of China. Like, there was one, and it got me. But it did go viral more than I thought it would. So that was pretty crazy. No one cared that I won the gold. Everyone was like, did you see her run around crazy from a bee? But whenever I started running, I could only imagine what my mom was thinking. Like, what is she doing? And she was actually mad at me. She texted me after the meet, and she's like, what were you doing up on that podium? Like, why were you doing that? And I zoomed into the picture. I was like, Mom, there was a bee. Because she's like, I didn't see it.
So see, teenagers, it's not just you,
yeah.
Right? Everybody's mom does
yes,
that, right?
Everybody's mom does it.
Well, Simone, I know that our audience has submitted some questions for you, and we're going to get to those in just a moment, but wanted to save the toughest question for last, because one of the most amazing things that happened to you in Rio was getting to meet Zac Efron. So,
yes.
Here's the question. Which was more awesome, a kiss from Zac Efron or a hug from President Obama?
Oh, God, that's so hard. See, someone said this to me before, and it's not fair because it's like two different levels, like meeting the president and then like meeting the guy I want to marry, you see? It's like, so it's on different levels, so it's both really cool.
So it's like an apples oranges yeah. comparison is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You talk quite a bit in the book about Amy, your
yes.
coach, and how close you were to her. What makes her such a great coach, and what are the ingredients, in your view, for a good coach?
I think they really have to get to know you, and she has since I was 6 to 7 years old, and she could tell my moods from the time I walked through the door or however I'm feeling at a competition, if she knows if I'm nervous or what I need. So I think it really takes a person that knows your bond and has a strong bond and knows you as a person before just like you're good at gymnastics. I mean, I think that's what we shared, and that's why we did so well, because she could always sense my mood, what kind of like type I was feeling that day. And so we really bonded, and I could always go to her and tell her everything that day. Like if I didn't feel like I could do the amount of numbers she told me to do, I said, well, can I do this meeting? And she's like, you know what? I think that might even work better mentally, so that, because in competition, you can't do that many or so like that. So she just really got to know me, and it was like, we just had a really good relationship.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you met her very early in your life. Tell
yes.
us, thank you, Andy. Tell us about how you got into gymnastics to begin
yes.
with. It was kind of by accident, right?
Yes, it was. I was 6 years old, and it was on a daycare field trip. And that day, we were actually supposed to go to the oil ranch, but it started raining, and the alternate like route was to go to the gym up the street from the daycare. So we're like, oh, let's just go there instead. And the coaches saw me because I was flipping around, copying the older girls in the back, which were the ones on team. And I just like thought I could do everything they could do, and a coach saw me and sent a letter home, and like my parents asked me right away if I wanted to do gymnastics or tumbling, and I was like, well, I want to do the one with four events, so they signed me up, and I went that week.
Wow, and the rest is history.
Yes.
And there you have it. So, well, we have a stack of questions. We'll get through as many as we can. This one says, did you do any other sports as a kid?
Gymnastics was the only sport I've ever done. I'm not so good at any other sports besides gymnastics, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
did U.S. Gymnastics give you any coaching for how to do TV interviews? You were able to maintain composure under so much stress.
Not necessarily. I remember growing up, my very first interview, he was like, can you say just more than one word? And I was like, no. So, like, they were like, you just need to say more stuff. But they guide you, but you kind of do it yourself, and I think I'm better at them than I was, also because gymnastics was, like, scary, so it's like, oh, the interview is, like, whatever happens, happens. I could say anything.
Yeah, if you can do what you can do on a balance
yes.
beam, then answering the questions.
The interview was the easy part, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this question must be from a gymnast. It says, do you have any advice on how to hold a longer handstand?
A longer handstand, for like a handstand hold, you can start by using a wall. That's what I used to do. And then as you get better at them on the wall, you can start taking your feet off the wall and balancing, but it's there as a guide just in case you want to tip over or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then if you go at the end of the floor and put your wrist, like on a piano mat or on the floor or on a springboard, start doing it there so that your arms are the only thing supporting you. And then you veer away from the board and then you just do it like solo.
Oh, so when I go home tonight, then I'll know.
Yes, there's steps.
So that's what it is. Yes. Okay. Are you scared when you perform? What motivates you? There's three questions here. And okay. Is it difficult to learn new techniques? So I'll let you answer any or all of those.
Yes. I do get a little bit nervous competing, but once I salute, I kind of just like blow them all away, and I'm pretty good with handling my nerves, so you can't tell that I'm nervous. And sometimes it is different and weird and like scary doing new techniques, but I mean, you have your coaches there to guide you so they don't make it too scary. But personally, like, I didn't like ever changing my form, so they had to deal with it, but I have had to along the way and kind of start over. Mm-hmm. What was the third question?
That was the third question. So are you scared when you perform? What motivates you? And is it difficult to learn new techniques?
I think what has always motivated me growing up was the Olympics. It's every girl's little dream of going to the Olympics. So I think that's what always motivated me. I wanted to go into the gym to get better, to go to the Olympics one day.
Question about Zac. Has your relationship with Zac Efron evolved since you two last met?
He's so busy, but I do remember on tour, one of my friends knows him really well, so he did FaceTime me, and we were, like, getting ready for the tour stop, so that was pretty cool.
1, 2, 3.
But other than that, he's a busy man, so I let him be.
Well, here's a question. What is the coolest opportunity you've had since your Olympic wins?
I think everyone has been amazing. We got to meet the president, go to the VMAs, go to the CMAs. I've gotten to go on Jimmy Fallon, the Today Show with Hoda. She's like my aunt. She's my favorite. I don't know. I've gotten to do so many things in this week, and I get to go to the Golden Globes. So
wow.
I head there tomorrow.
Awesome. We'll be looking for you.
Thanks.
This one says, hi, Simone. What was the main obstacle that you've had to overcome?
I think the main obstacle I've had to overcome, which was getting better at bars and trusting myself on bars, because, like, personally, I never thought I was going to do bars. It terrified me. I don't understand the concept of swinging around a bar with your arms, with only your arms. Like, that didn't make sense to me, and it was scary. So I was like, I'm just going to be a specialist. I'm never going to do bars, but I do bars now.
And really well.
Thank you.
Did you ever get discouraged being a gymnast? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Not necessarily. I remember going to school and, like, I didn't really like my muscles because, like, it was bigger than all the boys. And I beat up a boy once because he told me I couldn't. So I beat him up with my muscles. I did. I beat him up. But other than that, like, I had to get comfortable with my muscles. So I think that was, like, the biggest thing. It was never in gymnastics. It was, like, going to school with muscles. So I would always wear jackets to cover it up.
Wow. I bet that boy didn't bother you anymore, though, did he?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
This is sort of a similar question. When you feel like giving up at practice or at a meet, what makes you want to keep going?
I still think all my goals I've ever written down has always kept me going if I ever wanted to give up. Or to leave practice or just, like, not want to do it anymore. I was always like, well, I've trained so hard. It's just one bad day, and you'll have more in your life, so you can't give up on the bad days because of all the good days you will have.
That's good advice for everybody. Question from Kara. She's 10 years old, and she wants to know, who's your best friend in the final five?
Who's my best friend? I would say all of them, but I do talk to Allie, like, almost every day. I'm sure she actually probably just texts me if I look at my phone. And then Lori, she's like my little sister. I just love her, and, like, I feel the need to protect her, and every time something comes up or I see her on the TV, like, I cry. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I, like, fangirl to the max, and I'm like, oh my God, Lori's on TV.
So great. What's your favorite skill on floor?
My favorite skill on floor would be one that's named after me. It's called the Biles, so it's a double A half.
I think for a lot of people, that's their favorite skill now that it's got your name on
it. Thank you.
Who was your greatest inspiration for gymnastics?
My greatest inspirations were Alicia Sacramone, Nastia Lukin, and Shawn Johnson. Those are the ones I grew up watching.
Okay. How did you handle school and training and getting all your work done? I mean, obviously you were homeschooled, but still,
yes.
How did you manage all that?
It was a little bit rough at times because I always got behind in my schoolwork, and I would just cry because, like, I didn't understand why I was so behind, but it's because I didn't do it because I was, like, out of the country or stuff like that. But I was like, I don't get why I'm behind. Like, I was just out for 2 weeks. But, you know, I had a private teacher, so she would always send me with books on assignments out of the country, and I would always leave them at home because it was too heavy for my bag. But I could pull it up online and do my assignments. So I always had a private teacher that helped me so I could get caught back up.
So you kind of worked it around your
gymnastics. Yes, yeah. But I still did school like 3 to 4 hours a day.
Okay.
And then like if I had homework that night, which I always did.
Well, speaking of hours, this question says, how many hours a week do you train?
I was training 32 hours a week for 3 years or more.
Wow.
No, like 4 or 5 years, goodness gracious.
So
it's a long time.
That's what I'm saying, goodness gracious.
Yes.
So how did that break down on a daily basis? What would a day look like for you?
So I would come in the morning. I had 2 practices, and I would do 4 hours in the morning so that like the gym was calmer so I could use any equipment, any drills I needed. And then in the afternoon, I would train with some of the team girls for 3 hours, 7 hours a day, and then on Saturdays, 4 hours.
Wow, that's intense, but that's what it takes.
Yes.
To be an Olympic champion.
Yes.
What was your worst injury, and how did it happen?
My worst injury was I partially tore my calf muscle, but it was fine. I just had to be in a boot for like 3 weeks, and then it healed. But I think recently on tour, I broke my rib. But I still did I finished the rest of the tour because I didn't know it was broken. It just hurt a lot, and I would, like, cry after shows because I, like, couldn't breathe, couldn't move, and I was like, what's happening? But it was actually doing the Biles somehow. The pressure, the pounding just cracked. I was in the middle of the show, and I landed, and I was like, ah, something really hurt. And I was, like, running to the corner because I still had the rest of the number to do. And I was like, guys, I'm really hurting. Okay, let me go do my double-double. And then I, like, did everything, but I still finished out the rest of the tour and didn't find out until I got home, like, 2 weeks later.
Wow.
That's when I finally got it checked
out. Oh, my. So, Simone, what happens in that moment, right? At that moment, you knew something went terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not an injury, but maybe it's just a bad landing or something
yes.
goes wrong in a routine. What goes on in your head to keep your composure when that happens?
Well, I just thought, like, I maybe tweaked it or, like, I popped my rib out. So I was like, you know what? The trainer can fix it after the show. It's no big deal. Keep going.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's what you did. You just...
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And then later during the number, like, my toe cracked and there was bleeding everywhere. And I was like, I think I just need to call it a show. But I didn't. I finished it. And then I was, like, hobbling off. And then it was all good. The
wow.
trainer fixed me.
Wow. This is a question from Cecilia. She is a level 3 gymnast, and she asks, what advice do you have for a kip?
For a kip. Man. Swing hard and push your arms up hard. I'm sorry. I don't know how to teach kip because I got mine on one of the first tries. So, like, if I have better advice, I'll figure it out and I'll get it to you.
Yeah. Just got to keep practicing.
Yes.
Right? That's the bottom line. We talked about Amy a moment ago. This question says, how is your relationship with Amy different than other coaches and gymnasts? Is there something yes. special about the relationship with Amy?
I think she's just really gotten to know me over the years we've been training together. And she always knew what to do to take care of me, to make sure I was healthy mentally and physically so that I do a good job whenever I go compete. So she always knew how to handle me if I was in one of the moods, how to get me out, or just how to motivate me to do better in practice. And sometimes I remember whenever I was younger, like, my parents went out of town, I would stay at her house so I could still practice and stuff like that. So we just always had a good one.
Yeah, she just seemed to have an ability to kind of read,
yes,
you know, where you were mentally and emotionally and all of that.
Yes, and she never pushed me too hard because I would always push myself harder than I needed to. So she's like, okay, Simone, like, it's fine, you're fine.
Yeah. This question comes from Sylvia and Carter, and they want to know, is your sister an athlete too? And P.S., we love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you guys too. My sister was an athlete. She quit last year in the beginning of the year before a season because it was just getting a little bit hard for her. She was going on to level 10 and she didn't she just didn't like it anymore, and the fears got in the way. So as she calls it, she retired. She didn't quit. She retired.
Two questions here from Gia. One is, what two events are your favorite, and what's your favorite song?
Okay, so my two favorite events are Floor and Beam. I don't know, I just like really like Beam. And then my favorite song, what is my favorite song right now? I have too many favorite songs. I can never pick a favorite.
Yeah, too many of them.
Yeah,
huh?
It's just too many. I have so
many.
Yeah,
a lot of good ones out there right now. How about a favorite artist? Do you have a favorite artist?
I really do like Justin Bieber.
we have a Justin
like
Bieber
fan
over there.
The Chainsmokers, Drake, Rihanna. Yeah. Okay.
I think you have some people who agree with you out there. If there was a sport that you liked other than gymnastics, what would it be? That's from Haley.
I think ice skating looks really pretty, and I wanted to be an ice skater whenever I was younger. And like track, I feel like I could run really fast. I don't know, but I'm pretty short because I've stood next to the track runners and they're kind of tall.
But I'm thinking you'd be really fast too. I think you could do that if you wanted to.
I think so.
Sarah wants to know, what is your favorite movie?
Ooh, my favorite movie? I really love scary movies, but I do like chick flicks. So, I don't know.
Okay, any particular one?
I have so many. There's just so many. The Other Woman. I really like that one. Okay. I think it's hilarious.
Okay. Any favorite actors other than Zac Efron?
Okay, don't.
Or other actresses?
Other than Zac Efron, Dave Franco, Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, those are some good ones.
Okay.
Channing
very
Tatum.
Good ones. Oh, yes.
She's good looking, too.
Some Channing Tatum fans out there.
Yes.
If you could be any animal in the animal kingdom, which one would you be?
I feel like my spirit animal is like a honey badger. Like, those animals are crazy, and I feel like I'm pretty crazy. Like, they do anything, so that's definitely mine.
Well, here's a question from Audrey, and Audrey says, how does it feel to know that you are an idol for so many people?
To me, it's an honor because I remember being younger and looking up to my idols and just thinking like, wow, I just want to be just like them. So I think it's amazing how I can be a role model for those kids to look up to me, and like, especially whenever they're wearing my Leo, it's just like the cutest thing. My heart melts.
Does that feel like pressure at all to you, Simone, knowing that so many young people are looking up to you and older people?
Yes. To me, I don't feel so much pressure. I feel like it's an honor to be a role model.
Yeah. It's just a good thing.
Yes, it's a good thing.
So, similar question and a follow-up. Considering your life, how does it feel to be where you are right now?
Every day I wake up and I don't believe all the opportunities that I get to do, how I get to come speak to people, do signings, and like go to cool events. So my lifestyle does seem like a dream come true. I feel like a little princess every morning whenever I wake up. I'm sure my mom say I act like one, but it's whatever. So I really just do feel like I'm not in a real world living because how great it is.
Yeah, Simone, you write about your faith in the book and how important it is to you. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. So in Rio, I was like, I was a little nervous. So I swear I took everything I had with me, like a Bible, my Saint Sebastian, and I would like always make sure it was in my pocket or something because I was like just needed to pray all the time. But it is really important to me. We go to church every Sunday whenever I'm in town with me, my mom, and my sister, and sometimes my brothers join us. So I think it's just really important, and we always go and light a candle before each competition and after every church session. So I do think it's important to know that he has me and, like, everything's going to be safe, yeah. Fine. Just not through gymnastics, but my whole entire life. He's a good guidance, so it's good.
So speaking of your whole entire life, let's end on this question. After your gymnastics career, what do you plan to pursue? Job, hobbies, et cetera. And that is from Joy from the Hatboro Twisters.
Yes. One day I feel like I did want to become a children's nurse, but I think I'm going to veer off that path and still do something with sports, sports business, sports management, hopefully go to college. I still really love UCLA, so if I got the opportunity to go there, that's where I would want to go to school. So we'll see.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us. Please join me in thanking Simone Biles.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.